Side 3, Hugo Chavez, by Judith Levin. Continuing on page 109. By vilifying American policies and the American government, he strengthens his position as the good guy. He presents himself as the leader who is looking out for Venezuelan and Latin American economic and cultural interests in a world in which multinational corporations seek to homogenize the world and create a planet of consumers for their products, while ensuring a plentiful supply of oil from Venezuela and the Middle East, and cheap labor in China, India, and other parts of the developing world. Chavez has worked with Cuba's Fidel Castro, China's Hu Jintao, and Iran's Mahmoud Ahmadinejad to craft trade agreements favorable to one another, but not to the United States or Europe. Chavez seeks to create an alternative to Western capitalism and to existing international organizations such as NATO. In March of 2005, Chavez said that the FTAA, Free Trade Act of the Americas, was dead, and that neoliberalist economics had failed in Latin America, which is what some U.S. news programs said the day that Bolivia elected a left-wing Indian president. Chavez spoke harshly to the Mexican president, Vicente Fox, in November 2005. "The president of a people like the Mexicans lets himself become a puppy in the eyes of the empire." And when Fox protested and threatened to recall the Mexican ambassador to Venezuela if Chavez didn't apologize, Chavez instead recalled Venezuela's ambassador to Mexico. He can be, but is not always, quick-tempered and proud. Chavez wants to create economic and social plans that emphasize Venezuela's Latin American identity. Even before the mudslides of 1999 that left 15,000 to 20,000 people dead and about 100,000 homeless, Chavez, like other Venezuelan leaders before him, had spoken of the need to move some of the urban population of the country away from the cities and back to the largely uninhabited land. Chavez spoke of his desire for Venezuela to produce more of its own food and for its people to leave the poor barrios of the cities to farm. It's an interesting and complicated suggestion. What does it mean to, in his words, decentralize the country and create reverse migration, which is the opposite of what has happened in developed and developing countries for many decades? "Of course it's not easy," he says. "You can't just arrive at a barrio and tell people they've got to decamp to the south, and then leave them to get on with it and survive as best they may." Chavez is calling for something more than just an attempt to get people out of poor neighborhoods, especially poor neighborhoods that collapse in mudslides in the rainy season. He says he doesn't want children to have to leave home to get an education as he did. He also wants a more endogenous future, in which people would produce more of what they consume, especially the traditional products and dietary mainstays of the country, including rice and corn. But this requires changing the eating habits of Venezuelans, who currently eat more than five times as much wheat, which must be imported from the United States, than rice. Chavez, and others who support this goal, envision Venezuelans who will eat mangoes instead of apples, arepas, made of corn, instead of hamburgers, and rice instead of pasta. Even Richard Gott, who believes very strongly in Chavez and his Bolivarian Revolution, sounded dubious when he reported this. Observing one of Caracas's huge modern shopping malls, he describes Venezuelans enjoying the products of McDonald's, Dunkin' Donuts, Wendy's, and other international fast food companies. Arepas are likely to be a hard sell to that crowd. Eating habits do change, but eating is one area of life in which it is notoriously hard to force change, as various international aid agencies have found historically when they discovered that the people they wanted to help would starve to death rather than eat unfamiliar foods. Similarly, Chavez says that Venezuela should manufacture toys that reflect the region's history. He suggests, for example, that children play with Simón Bolívar dolls rather than with Barbies or Superman action figures. During the Christmas 2005 season, there weren't many Simón Bolívar dolls to be found in Caracas stores, but 18-inch Hugo Chavez dolls were extremely popular among adults. Pull a string and it says, "It's your dream, it's your hope, and it's your job to be free and equal. And I arrived here to do all that is humanly possible to help all the Venezuelan people." The dolls were made in China, not Venezuela, and were often bought as joke presents for Chavez haters. Chavez's wish to support Latin American interests and culture is not unreasonable. Many national, religious, and cultural groups worry about the destruction of their native cultures. Historically, there is often a swing back and forth between a country's interest in becoming modern and keeping up with what's happening in the rest of the world, and its concern that it will then lose its own individual identity. In the late 1800s, Guzman Blanco tried to make Caracas look like Paris, and now Hugo Chavez worries that in valuing what is North American and European, Venezuela has forgotten its own indigenous roots. He is asking parts of an urban population to return to the land and ways of their ancestors, who were poor and discriminated against in the first place. He has created Telesur, a South American satellite TV station, to give people an alternative to RCTV's Quien Quiere Ser Millonario, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Telesur offers, instead, a Colombian Indian woman in native dress presenting the news. And, of course, Chavez offers Aló Presidente. It really works for some people, and it really doesn't for others. Captions to photographs. 1. Caracas residents wait in line to vote in the recall referendum on the rule of Chavez on August 15, 2004. 2. In 2005, Mexican President Vicente Fox agreed with Hugo Chavez to pull their respective ambassadors. Fox and Chavez engaged in a verbal fight, with Chavez threatening, "Don't mess with me." End of captions. Chapter 10. The Future of Hugo Chavez. A psychiatrist in Caracas, Dr. Pedro Delgado, said Chavez is great for his business because Chavez is making people crazy. He doesn't mean it as a joke. He's seeing anxiety, depression, uncertainty, and rage in his patients. In 2002, interviewed by the New York Times Magazine shortly after the coup, he said, "Chavez was an experiment for a society looking for a way out of the old, corrupt order of things. His ambitions were grandiose, that is, unrealistically grand." Chavez was elected when the old political parties were so out of touch with the electorate that they didn't have a candidate and didn't realize that their endorsement would actually hurt a candidate. The country was in total disrepair financially, so that people with money were already leaving it. Much of the middle class had fallen below the poverty line. Bureaucracy and corruption had brought most agencies, including even the phone company, almost to a standstill. The national currency was in a tailspin, on its way to being worth nothing. And so a broken country elected someone who seemed to offer hope and certainly seemed to offer change. Dr. Delgado said, "We Venezuelans have a hard time resisting strongmen who say they will solve all our problems. We want to believe in them, passionately, blindly." And, wrote Tim McGurk, the year Chavez was elected, "Chavez represents a populist backlash against Venezuela's entrenched power elite, whose corruption and ineptitude had virtually bankrupted the oil-rich Caribbean nation." How is Chavez doing as a leader? By now, it is obvious that the answer depends on whom you ask. Politicians, news stations, journalists, websites, historians, or ordinary people almost all must be identified as primarily pro or anti-Chavez before their views can be considered. There is not a statistic on unemployment, oil exports, average income, or anything else that could be cited definitively that someone on one side of the debate or the other would not say is biased and incorrect. A discussion of Hugo Chavez's life and presidency causes us to examine the way we interpret historical events. Was the coup against Chavez an effort to restore democracy or a blow to democracy? When Chavez creates laws to control the media, is that an attempt to limit free speech, or could it also be a response to organizations that helped to overthrow the government? Is what Venezuela has now a democracy? Is Chavez on his way to being a dictator? Hugo Chavez made 3 campaign promises when he first ran for office: to end the closed two-party system, to end corruption, and to end poverty. How is he doing? The two-party system is certainly dead for now. Arguably, it was dead even as Chavez campaigned. Chavez has found corruption intractable. It is socked in like a bad weather system, and even exercising his considerable power, he knows it is bigger than he is. It is like a cancer that has metastasized in all directions, he says, not just in Venezuela, but in Latin America. Chavez is certainly trying to end poverty, insofar as he is creating his many programs to help the poor. Yet there is, no surprise, widespread disagreement about how well he is doing. When people examine the figures for poverty and unemployment during the years of the Chavez presidency, they often note that the figures didn't get any better, at least during his early years in office. While opponents blame that on him, They tend to leave out that he inherited a terribly damaged economy that was further debilitated by the severe landslides of 2000 and by the oil strike of 2002 to 2003. The same people who shut down the economy for slightly over 2 months then turn to Chavez and say, in effect, "See how bad for the economy you are?" Venezuela's National Institute of Statistics says that the poverty level dropped to 35% in 2005, down 8%, and that the critical poverty level, the level at which people cannot afford to cover even basic needs, dropped 10% in the first half of 2005 to 8%. Chavez and his misiones have given many people hope. Some are getting basic services, like medical care, for the first time. Some are getting jobs for the first time. But many economists believe that, at best, Chavez is pursuing good intentions with bad management. His misiones would not survive a drop in the price of oil, and historically, oil prices do go up and down. In many ways, he is continuing Venezuela's old policies of depending on one crop for its economy, the crop having been oil for many years now. Additionally, Chavez does not seem to look at the economic big picture. He cannot build a stable economy without some of the people who oppose him, because they are the people who create jobs and generate money for the economy, aside from oil revenue. Among the elite of Venezuela are the people who say, "Chavez did something important for this country. He woke us up. After years and years, we have no choice but to embrace our responsibility." But there is no evidence that Chavez is aware of those people or interested in working with them. Far less is he interested in working with the people who truly and completely oppose him, even though those people may be needed to build a new and healthier Venezuela. He would rather give or loan people money to begin their own new businesses. It is indeed a revolutionary stance, as he says. Although the Venezuelan Constitution says that Chavez can be elected for only one more term, to be voted on in December 2006, he says he plans to be in office until 2023. The question remains whether he will survive as president if he continues to polarize the country. And if he does survive, will it be by continuing to consolidate his power and, backed by the military, indeed become the dictator that many people fear? Or is he part of the new wave of Latin American leaders, now joined by the new president of Bolivia, Evo Morales, that country's first Indian president, who are creating a new kind of democracy and serving the needs of the majority of the people in their countries? It remains to be seen. Captions to photographs. 1. Venezuela's economic crisis has proved to be Hugo Chavez's greatest challenge as president. This poverty-stricken neighborhood in Caracas boasts a McDonald's, a favorite of the Venezuelan people, despite Chavez's urge for boycotts. 2. President Chavez speaks at the inauguration of the new military academic year on January 10, 2006. Defense Minister Orlando Maniglia is seated next to Chavez. The president urged his military to prepare for a war with the United States. 3. Venezuelan diplomat Jenny Figueredo is embraced by President Chavez at the Miraflores Presidential Palace in Caracas on February 10, 2006. According to Chavez, Figueredo was thrown out of Washington in retaliation for the expulsion of a U.S. official accused of spying on the Chavez government. End of captions. Chronology. 1498. Christopher Columbus lands in what is now Venezuela. 1783. Simón Bolívar is born in Caracas. 1811. Venezuela declares independence from Spain. 1819. Bolívar becomes president of Gran Colombia. 1823. The last troops loyal to Spain are defeated and expelled from Venezuela. 1829. Venezuela breaks away from Gran Colombia. 1830. Bolívar dies. 1847. José Antonio Páez and his allies rule Venezuela as dictators. 1854. Slavery abolished. 1888. Dictator Antonio Guzmán Blanco establishes a stable, though corrupt, government in Venezuela. 1914. Oil well drilled on the shore of Lake Maracaibo. 1935. Dictator Juan Vicente Gómez rules Venezuela with violence, but remains in power because of a strong economy. 1948. Rómulo Gallegos, elected president by popular vote in 1947, takes office, but is deposed by the military within the year. 1952 to 1958. General Marcos Pérez Jiménez rules as dictator. 1954, Hugo Rafael Chavez Frias is born in Sabaneta in the state of Barinas. 1958, the Democratic Action Party, AD, and the Committee for Political Organization and Independent Election, COPEI, signed the Pact of Punto Fijo, agreeing to share political power. 1960, Venezuela, Iraq, Iran, Kuwait, and Saudi Arabia form OPEC, the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries. 1964, Romulo Betancourt serves as first popularly elected president of Venezuela. 1975, Hugo Chavez graduates from the Venezuelan Academy of Military Sciences. The government nationalizes the oil industry. 1977, Hugo Chavez marries Nancy Colmenares. 1980, Hugo Chavez returns to the military academy as an instructor. 1982, Hugo Chavez and other military officers form the Bolivarian Revolutionary Movement 200, MBR 200. 1988, in a crumbling economy, former President Carlos Andrés Pérez is re-elected to office. 1989, President Pérez implements neoliberal financial reforms, which lead to the Caracaso, the Caracan street riots. 1992, Hugo Chavez fails in an attempted coup d'etat of the Pérez government and is jailed. 1993, President Pérez is impeached for corruption. Rafael Caldera is elected president. 1994, President Caldera pardons Hugo Chavez and the other participants in the coup attempt. Chavez visits Cuba, divorces his wife, and organizes the Revolutionary Fifth Republic movement. 1997, Hugo Chavez marries Marisabel Rodriguez. 1998, Hugo Chavez is elected president of Venezuela by the largest majority of votes in the country's history. 1999, President Chavez launches Plan Bolivar 2000. Venezuela's new constitution is voted into effect. Landslides kill 15,000 to 20,000 people and leave 100,000 homeless. 2000, hotly disputed elections create a new National Assembly and also re-elect Hugo Chavez under the terms of the new constitution. Chavez visits Iraq and other OPEC members to strengthen OPEC's regulation of oil production and prices. 2001, Hugo Chavez enacts 49 decrees under the 2000 Enabling Act. Fede Cámaras calls for general strike to oppose Chavez's policies. 2002, attempted coup against Hugo Chavez fails. Chavez's wife, Marisabel Rodriguez, leaves him. 2002 to 2003, business leaders and labor unions unite in 2-month-long general strike, shutting down the oil industry and closing banks and schools. 2004, recall referendum fails to unseat Hugo Chavez from office. 2005, July, Chavez government passes laws regulating media. New Venezuelan television station, Telesur, begins broadcasting. August, U.S. Christian broadcaster Pat Robertson suggests that Chavez be assassinated to prevent Venezuela from becoming a launching pad for communist infiltration and Muslim extremism. August, Chavez offers soldiers, aid workers, food, and discounted oil to U.S. to help recovery from Hurricane Katrina. November, Chavez provides discounted heating oil to residents of Massachusetts. 2006, July, Hugo Chavez and the Iranian president pledge mutual support. September, Chavez calls U.S. President George W. Bush the devil at a United Nations speech. Bibliography. John Lee Anderson, The Revolutionary, The New Yorker, 9/10/01. http://www.newyorker.com/printables/archive/0204222fr_archive03. Barry Cannon, Venezuela, April 2002, Coup or Popular Rebellion, The Myth of a United Venezuela, Bulletin of Latin American Research, 23/3/2004, 285-302. Hugo Chavez and Marta Harnacker, Understanding the Venezuelan Revolution. Hugo Chavez, Hugo Talks to Marta Harnacker. Translated by Chesa Budin. New York, Monthly Review Press, 2005. Catherine Ellison, Venezuela Steers a New Course, The Smithsonian, January 2006, pages 60 to 71. Omar G. Encarnacion, Venezuela's Civil Society Coup, World Policy Journal, Summer 2002, 38 to 48. Alma Guillermo Prieto, Don't Cry for Me, Venezuela, The New York Review of Books, 52, 15, October 6, 2005. Aleida Guevara, Chavez, Venezuela, and the New Latin America, New York, Ocean Press, 2005. Richard Gott, Hugo Chavez and the Bolivarian Revolution, New York, Verso, 2005. Christian Parenti, Hugo Chavez and Petropopulism, The Nation, April 11, 2005. http://www.thenation.com/docprint.html?i=20050411?PARENTI Deborah Sontag, In the Time of Hugo Chavez, New York Times Magazine, June 2, 2002. Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia, Hugo Chavez, http://en.wikipedia.org/wikihugo_chavez. Further reading. John Lee Anderson, The Revolutionary, New Yorker, September 10, 2001. Richard A. Crooker, Venezuela, New York, Chelsea House Publishers, 2006. Jeffrey Fox, The Land and People of Venezuela, New York, HarperCollins Publishers, 1991. Aleida Guevara, Chavez, Venezuela, and the New Latin America. An Interview with Hugo Chavez by Aleida Guevara, New York, Ocean Press, 2005. Jane Cohen Winter, Venezuela, Cultures of the World Series, New York, Marshall Cavendish, 1998. End of Hugo Chavez by Judith Levin, JUDITHLEVIN. Read by Mark Ashby in the studios of Potomac Talking Book Services, Incorporated, for the Library of Congress, November 2007. Published by Chelsea House Publishers, an imprint of InfoBase Publishing, 132 West 31st Street, New York, New York, 10001. Further reproduction or distribution in other than a specialized format is prohibited. If you found any cassette in this book to be defective, please place a rubber band or piece of string around that cassette for identification. Place it in the container on top of the front stack of cassettes.